The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to NFL Live. So glad you're with us. Hey, we're still in all of the magic tricks Patrick Mahomes had ready to go on Monday Night Football, out-dueling Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Marcus Spears is here. Dan Orlovsky is here. Someone here thinks Kansas City just might go undefeated. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Mina Kimes and Adam Schefter also with us as well. And Schefty, we're going to start with the biggest news out of the NFL right now. In unprecedented times, multiple teams shutting down their facilities. What's going on?
Laura, we have the NFL wrestling with the first coronavirus crisis of this season. There have been other instances, but none that have threatened the postponement of a game the way that this one currently does. There are 8 Titans employees, 3 players, 5 other individuals who have tested positive, and those are positive tests. They have come back. These are not false positives where they're retesting the samples. They are confirmed positive tests, 8 of them. And you worry for the coaches who are elder in age, and you worry about the particular situation. Now, they are going through other tests of other individuals. While that happens, the Titans have shut down their facility and are working remotely. The same has happened for the Minnesota Vikings, who played the Titans on Sunday in Minnesota, because the NFL is able to do contact tracing and figure out who has been in close contact with who else, and so they can figure out. So the Vikings players and officials are now being tested to see what results come back from those tests. In the interim, the Titans facilities closed this week, maybe until Saturday, and the NFL is trying to figure out if and when it can play the game. We'll see what happens with the next test results that'll come back tomorrow. But right now, it is a fluid situation. It is an unprecedented situation, and it is a disconcerting, troubling situation.
Yeah, Schefty, you mentioned the Titans, even just in their case, having facilities closed until Saturday. I mean, the game would be on Sunday. What will the league consider in terms of having these teams actually play their games on Sunday?
Laura, right now the league wants to and intends to play the game on Sunday. That's its plan. Now, let's see what happens with the rest of the tests. If any other players test positive, it's going to be very difficult to play this game on Sunday. But if the rest of the tests of the Titans players and coaches come back clean and there are no other positives, I think the league will go on with Sunday. If there are positives, then the other contingency plans come into play. And one of those contingency plans would be to move the game possibly to Monday night, which is a possibility anyway, which would give the team more time to do testing, contact tracing, and get the team one day of practice before it could play or would play the Pittsburgh Steelers as it is currently scheduled to do. Meanwhile, Pittsburgh activities with the Steelers go on uninterrupted. They get to practice this week. They get to prepare as if there will be a game, while the Titans are doing virtual work without lifting, without on-field work, without on-field preparations for a game that may or may not take place this upcoming weekend.
Just uncharted waters all around. Schefty, stay with us. You'll be joining us throughout this show with more on all this. And Marcus, from the player perspective, you just heard Schefty say it. They're doing activities that are not physical. It's all remote. How do you, as a player, prepare for a game in just days?
You don't. You can't prepare for a game. The preparation is literally at the facility. Like, we can do virtual meetings. Us three can sit here and virtually prepare for something that you physically have to do, but you are not physically ready. That's the part that, look, football is a mental game for sure, and you need to have all your T's crossed and your I's dotted. But the physical nature of the game as well, during a week of practice in the NFL, you lift weights, you rehab, you have physical looks at what the teams are doing, you have preparation, you go through a lot of scenarios, 2-minute drill, 4-minute drill, you prepare for things that's odd about what the team does you play against. You cannot simulate that any other way than being on the practice field and prepping for what they're doing. Fits, when you talk about linebackers, where they fit on certain plays that teams run. It's a plethora of things that you cannot do and prepare for to talk talk about playing a game against other professional athletes?
Yeah, my mind goes to three things. First of all, my own house, my family, my wife, my kids. And not only that, like, do I have any family members that are living with me? Were my parents planning to come visit? But also, like, my kids are going to school. So do I send my kids to school? If I was the parent of another kid in school, like, would I feel comfortable having that happen? Second of all, like, it's not necessarily getting prepared to play. My job is prepared to win. Like, yeah. There's no way that I can prepare to actually win this football game. Just speaking from a quarterback sense, and I'll go to this literal example of Tennessee and Pittsburgh. Like, Pittsburgh's got the best blitz package in the NFL right now. Mm-hmm. I need looks at that blitz package. My running backs do. My linemen do. How are we going to handle all that stuff? You can't give me live reps at that, let alone walkthroughs. And then the thing, I think the Tennessee Titans players, I'm trying to put myself in their shoes. I think they have to ask the NFL to move this game. Because, again, if I can't prepare to win that football game, and we know that one game can make the difference between getting in the playoffs or not, like, Tennessee's 3-0. They're a bona fide football team that was in the AFC Championship game last year. They should not have to be affected or negatively impacted because something out of their control. Because what happens if one game keeps them out of the playoffs or keeps them out of the one seed? No. That's a big deal.
Well, and we knew, Shefty, that so much of this would just be completely hard to predict. I mean, what do you know about something that has never happened before? So as you hear these guys talking, what's your reaction?
Well, there are a few things. Number one, this was always going to be a season in which certain teams might have advantages at certain points. Some teams are able to have a small smattering of fans while other teams cannot. Advantage to the teams that get some fans. In this particular case, it may be an advantage to the Pittsburgh Steelers that they get to practice on-field work while the Titans don't if the game comes off. But that's just how it's going to be in a season of a pandemic. There's no way around that. The other issue that I think about that my mind drifts to is we're 3 weeks into a season where we've already seen a lot of injuries. And I don't know the answer to this, but it's all about health and safety with the virus and as it pertains to the virus. Are there health and safety issues with players suddenly taking a week off from practice and then being asked to play a game that Sunday without having gone through on-field work? I don't know the answer to that, and maybe I'm stretching here, but it seems like there have been enough injuries early in the season to wonder if the lack of work in the off-season, if the lack of preseason games had any contribution to that. And that's the job of the Players Association, to make sure that all safety procedures are followed as closely as they can be.
Last night, the Ravens blitzed Patrick Mahomes on 46% of his dropbacks, but that was no problem for the Chiefs QB as he completed 81% of those throws for 219 yards and 3 touchdowns, all career highs, as you see here. He's like, pressure, no big deal. Mahomes made it look easy. The Chiefs extend their winning streak to 12 games, the longest in franchise history. Now, Marcus, we just saw how good Mahomes was against a pass rush. You warned us about this. Ravens defensive coordinator Wink Martindale did exactly what you said not to.
Wink. Wink, I told you, man. I tried to do my part because I love you to death. Brother, we knew what Patrick Mahomes was doing to the blitz. We knew what he was doing to it last year. And you insisted on playing man-to-man and letting these dudes run all over the field with the quarterback that literally is playing like Michael Jordan right now. For the life of me, I couldn't understand it. But in all seriousness, like, this is the dilemma that these coaches have. Yeah. Do I try to speed his process up, or do I sit back and just give up yards and try to stay steady in the red zone? You don't have answers. What Wink Martindale did last night is what every defensive coordinator is going to deal with. What are we going to suffer less from? Hmm. So he tried that way. Next week, whoever they plant, don't try that, damn it.
Yeah, but they might be tempted to your point. All right, listen, Andy Reid on the other side of this thing, Mina, he had a non-foggy face shield, which is very nice, dialing up the perfect game plan. What stuck out to you about the positions Reid puts Mahomes and the Chiefs offense in?
I just love him. I just love him so much. I mean, how can you not? Andy Reid is 62 years old, and he coaches like he's 32, right? Because a lot of too many coaches and coordinators around the NFL would say, okay, I've got the most talented thrower in football. I've got one of the best skill groups, great offensive line. I'm going to sit back on my laurels and let them win their one-on-ones. But not Andy Reid. I was giggling, honestly, last night at some of the shenanigans he was pulling fully in his bag. I mean, look at that play, right? Tyreek Hill comes on the field. Mahomes rolls right. Defense rolls right. So, of course, a shovel pass to the fullback. Well, I've never even seen this. He stacked four wide receivers. What? Like, what? It was just, at one point, he had a reverse throwback out of Wildcat. Oh, of course, yes, other teams leak their tight ends. He's going to leak his tackle. It's the innovation from him and Eric Bieniemy, who should be a head coach in the NFL, that awes me week after week. And then when you combine that innovation with a quarterback who can execute every last bit of it, I don't know how you stop it, to Marcus's point.
Yeah, I mean, last night is a perfect example. Like, Andy Reid earned his paycheck. You know, when you play in games like that, your coach has got to earn their paycheck, and he did last night. Can we show up Andy Reid's play sheet? Because this is why, one of the reasons why, like, he's so impressive. His play sheet, look at that thing. It is enormous. There is, I'm going to be honest here, there's probably 250 plays on that sheet.
Wow.
That, I mean, there's just a plethora of things that they can go to. Now, one of the reasons why we love all this, kind of these different formations and plays, is because Andy Reid doesn't care. All these kind of plays that we consider gadget plays that were part of the NFL 15 or 20 years ago, but coaches were too scared to use them. Like, Andy's like, I'm calling them. We're going to call them on first down. We're going to call them on second down. We're going to just use all these different things. But the reality is this as well. His quarterback has become the most disciplined quarterback in football. We often talk about teams that get a ton of weapons, and we go, the number one question is there too many weapons? Or are there too many guys? Is he gonna try to force people to football? And Patrick's just like, nope, Andy's going to call these plays. I'm going to throw to the guy that the defense dictates it to. We can rave about his physical talent all we want. He's become the most disciplined quarterback in football. And that's why this offense is truly unstoppable, because the quarterback's mind is more impressive than his physical talents.
That's really scary. Andy Reid's play sheet looks like a Waffle House menu, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Cheesecake Factory.
You know what happens, too? It's when you have that many weapons, man.
Yeah.
Like, you think about how many game plans he can develop around that talent on this team. I want Travis Kelce to be the focal. Yeah. I want Tariq Hill to be the focal. Sammy Watkins low-key balled in the playoffs last year. You can build around a lot of these guys.
All right, later on, we're going to talk about Lamar Jackson and exactly why things didn't go well for him last night. So that's coming. Our Football Power Index has the Chiefs as the favorite in each of their remaining 13 games. Dan Orlovsky said they might go undefeated.
Three weeks ago. All right, let's get to some
quick reads here. Marcus, give me a team that's currently under 500 that you think is still in the mix.
The Dallas Cowboys, because offensively, they are as explosive as anybody else. And listen, the teams that we're comparing them to, especially the Seattle team, they are as bad on defense as the Cowboys are. So there will be a point, and Mina said it yesterday as well, the NFC East, they are horrible. The Cowboys have this thing set up to get it done. They need to be explosive and pray that they can make a play or two on defense.
So I'm still holding out hope for Houston, who should really file a complaint with whoever made their schedule, starting with the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Ravens, and then the Steelers. Things are going to get easier from here on out. Still a very good offense, I believe, in Deshaun Watson.
I'm going to take the Detroit Lions. They should be 2-1. They're 1-2. But getting AP going a little bit in their run game, he's become a focal point for them. Kenny Golladay getting healthy. Their tight end TJ Hockenson is starting to really play well. Matthew Stafford is hot, and they don't turn the football over. If they can continue to do that, not turn the football over, I think this defense starts to get some takeaways, and they can make a little run in the back half of this season.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, let's get to Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. They seem to be finding their mojo week three, getting in a nice groove. Brady went 25 of 38 for 297 yards and three touchdowns against the Broncos. Also, gotten a better rhythm with Gronk. Six passes to his longtime tight end. Up next for the Bucs is week four at home against the Chargers. And no offense to Tom, the real story in Tampa has been all about the defense. All right, so we got a pirate ship for you. Look at this pirate ship. I love it. Very good job by the crew here. As we told you, Brady setting this offense on the right course, but this Buccaneers defense is running a tight ship. Do you get it? All right, they're allowing opponents to score on just 27.8% of their drives, which ranks second in the NFL behind only the Colts. They also rank second in the league in yards per rush allowed, trailing only the Steelers there. So, Marcus, for all the talk of the Packers and Seahawks, are the Bucs actually the best team in the NFC?
They'll eventually be the best team. Once this offense gets their footing, once Gronkowski is continuously implemented into this offense, once O.J. Howard continues to ascend and Tom Brady finds that comfort level, Godwin obviously out with a hamstring, when he gets back and they can get full continuity offensively, which I really never worried about the offensive side of the ball. But when you look at the landscape of this league right now, there are a lot of teams that are very incomplete. We talk about how good Russell Wilson is. Defense atrocious. We talk about Green Bay. They still gave up that amount of points to the New Orleans Saints. There is a growing sense now that the Tampa Bay Bucs defense is going to be the championship-level defense before anybody else. Them and Pittsburgh right now can change games on that side of the ball. And what they're doing is they're using speed, physicality, and they are manning up. Now, look, we just told you, don't do that against Patrick Mahomes, which I'm sure they won't, because Todd Bowles is not going to allow his defense to be cooked like that. But they have the personnel to defend against anybody in this league.
Okay, you mentioned the speed. You mentioned the physicality. They can man up. What specifically makes that so difficult to play against?
Well, two things that they're doing really well, because they're using the speed and the physicality. First of all, when they get in their five-man front, it's a problem for offenses, because all five guys are guys. It's Jason Pierre-Paul. It's Shaq Barrett. It's Vita Vea. It's Sue. It's Vernon Will Golston. Like, this five-man front, everybody gets one-on-one matchups. And you got to know that there's going to be somebody in a front exposed. What happens? Quarterback's got to get the ball in his hands. He's going to get hit, tipped up in the air. And then they've got great games. Again, these are four rushers that are legit. The games that they get and the power. I mean, there's Pierre-Paul just pushing the tackle into the quarterback. Almost leads to another interception. And let me tell you this. Shaq Barrett is as good a game rusher when they want to pressure as there is in the NFL right now. And then when you add in that they're two linebackers, Lavonte David and Devin White, they are two of the best blitzing linebackers in the NFL. So those are seven rushers. I can't do math. Those are seven rushers that they can throw at you. It's almost, think about it like this. We talk about matchups when it comes to offensive teams, right? And we go, you don't have enough people to cover them. They got seven guys that can rush a quarterback, and you don't have enough people to block them.
No doubt.
And here's the thing, Dan. No one should be surprised by this.
Right.
This was the best run defense in the NFL last year. Todd Bowles turned this unit around real quick. They're winning games. Brady's played well, quietly, very well. But they're the second best defense in the league in terms of yards per play. It's a credit to the talent they have at every level. Player I'd like to highlight is who I believe is currently the leader for Defensive Rookie of the Year, and that is Antoine Winfield Jr., the safety. He had to move to slot in the last game, and he thrived. Todd Bowles has used him like a Swiss Army knife in that defense, blitzing him. He's been excellent against the run. He's been great in coverage. He was the final piece of an already good defense that is looking right now like the best unit in the NFC.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, guys, because I feel like so much of the talk about Tom Brady choosing the Buccaneers had to do with the offense. We talked about the tight ends that were already there. Gronk comes over and all the things that they could do offensively. But maybe some of it, too, had to do with the fact that he knew that defense on the other side was going to give him a really good chance to win.
Listen, that's a great point, Laura, because he knows he's going to need it. He had a defense in New England that carried him to 12 wins last year.
Yeah.
Now you give him talent, we're talking about Super Bowl, right? And Tom Brady did not go to Tampa to win games or go to the playoffs. He went to win a Super Bowl. You cannot do that without a complete team. If anybody in this league, and this for as great as we talk about Tom Brady being, He understands what a good defense does more than anybody because he's had a bunch of them.
Guys, the Bucs allowing just 4.7 yards per play. That's their lowest mark since 2007, which, of course, was their most recent playoff appearance. All right, a developing story we're following today in the NFL. This morning, the Tennessee Titans' COVID testing results returned 3 new player positives, 5 new personnel positives. The Titans have suspended in-person club activities starting today. The Vikings, who played the Titans Sunday, also suspended in-person activities. Our Diana Russini has been all over this story today. So, Diana, what is the plan here, starting with Tennessee?
Yeah, hey, Laura. So the Titans have cleared out their facility completely. No one is allowed in the building. Going further, all the meetings are going to be virtual like we saw in the offseason. The team is not going to be able to practice. I was told that they're not going to be allowed back into the building to not until Saturday morning-ish, Saturday afternoon. But in terms of the plan for the game, because that's really the big question now, because if you look at the competitive advantage or at least disadvantage the Tennessee Titans have versus the Steelers who are together practicing, it's not very even. So the league is really pushing to get this game played, but it's all going to depend based on when Tennessee can get back into their facility to have some practices. So on the table right now, Monday night is an option, and I'm told Tuesday night is also an option right now. Now, players, coaches, they're still continually getting tested for COVID. Tennessee right now, as you heard just right now, there's about 8 people that tested positive as of now. We don't know if any more people were tested, but testing continues today, and we will know more tomorrow. In terms of when a decision will be made for Sunday's game, whether or not the league will be deciding to use that option of Monday or Tuesday, I'm told no decision will be made today.
Just quickly on all this, Diana, you're talking to so many of these teams, but let's talk about the Titans. What are they saying about the fact that maybe they could play Tuesday? They could play Monday. I mean, what are the conversations around that?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a chaotic morning. This all was breaking pretty quickly, and there was a lot of information flying around, some misinformation as well, as they were trying to sort of get a hold of what was happening here. They did have a team meeting this afternoon. I spoke to a few players. They said, you know, their head coach just addressed them, gave them the schedule, and they're having the mindset and the attitude that they're going to play this game on Sunday. They're not really looking past that idea of playing Monday or Tuesday at this point. And, you know, one player just said, I kind of feel like we can handle it. This is just this world we live in right now. And it seems like Tennessee is just focused on hopefully just getting through the next day so they can get some more answers.
Yeah, the Titans' next 3 games all at home against the Steelers, Bills, and Texans before a bye week in week 7. Thanks so much, Diana Russini, for the latest. It's been so much fun watching Russell Wilson so far this season. And Mina, it really has been fun for you. His hot start is approaching historic levels. What stands out to you?
I mean, what doesn't stand out to me? Consider this incredible statistic. I'm going to give you a few of them. So far this season, Russell Wilson has thrown 14 touchdowns. That's as many as the rest of the NFC West combined, Laura. And it's in part because the Seahawks are finally living up to their name and attacking through the air. Well, the Seahawk isn't a real bird, but if it was, it would be attacking through the air. Brian Schottenheimer has unleashed him on early downs, passing the football the most in the league. It's been spectacular. Look at this one, 3 for 30. 3 for 3, rather. That's a lot better than 3 for 30 on 40-plus air yard passes. Many of those to DK Metcalf. Turns out it's a good idea to draft a gigantic, fast receiver if you have a quarterback with the prettiest deep ball in the NFL. Perfect match of quarterback and receiver there. This one really jumps out. Russell Wilson spent the longest time in the pocket of any quarterback, and that is a testament not only to his subtle movements, ability to evade rushers, but also the Seahawks offensive line, which is not something you hear a lot every day, currently ranks 5th in ESPN's pass block win rate metric. Again, 5th. Very unusual for that Seattle offensive line. They've been playing much better than previous seasons. If they can keep that up, Wilson will be on his way to an MVP award.
Let's go. You know, he's never even gotten a vote. That's crazy to me.
Look how happy she is when she talks about him.
We're so happy about it, too. I have to just say something. Mina, while you were going, Dan was so caught up on you saying that a Seahawk's not a real bird that I think he missed the last 2 great stats that you had. So just to confirm, a Seahawk is not a real bird?
No clue.
Fictional. Totally fictional. Nah, I guess kinda, it's like an osprey, but not a real bird.
That's disappointing because when you go play there, and they start their game, like they have a hawk come out low right through the tunnel before the team goes, I always thought it was a Seahawk.
Can you proceed?
Yeah, we're going to carry on, but we just had to have that moment there for Dan Orlovsky.
Mina, sometimes you accentuate our dumbness and it's not fair.
All right, we're gonna give you a chance to be smart right now, Marcus.
I thought the Seahawks was a real bird too. Yeah. I really did.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's see what you say about this. Given Wilson's hot start, do you think the Seahawks offense can continue to overcome some of the defense's deficiencies right now?
Unfortunately, I don't. As good as Russell is playing, we just had the conversation about Tampa Bay. At some point, when you get into these playoffs, listen. I always go back to this. We talk about Pat Mahomes and his ability to come back in those games in the playoffs. But we also have to recognize what his defense was able to do during that run as well, getting him the ball back time after time after time. At some point, this is football. This is general football for everybody out there. At some point in time, your defense is going to have to make stops. They are going to have to make key stops. And you are going to have the personnel in order to get that done. And I know we love to talk about offense and these yardage and these quarterbacks doing these things. When we start getting deeper and deeper into this season, the completion of a team is going to start to arise. And right now, that's why we see Tampa like that. Seattle is in a struggle to stop people from scoring the football, and I think it's going to catch up with them, especially in the NFC.
Yeah, the big thing is no one should be surprised by what Russell Wilson is doing. I mean, it's the same Russell Wilson that's been in the NFL for a long time. The big difference is, and we talked about this for weeks, it's the best supporting cast he's ever had, and he's getting more at-bats now. Instead of throwing the ball 24 times, he's throwing the ball 46 times. But it's also the people that they have are very specific. Like Greg Olsen, great on third downs and great in the red zone. DK Metcalf, you heard Mina talk about 3 for 3 in the 40-plus air yards to Metcalf. He's becoming one of the best deep ball receivers in the NFL. Russell was already the best deep ball thrower in the league. And then Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett, this is a bold claim, but I'm going to say it, is the best in-between-the-numbers receiver in the NFL with finding windows, but also the best broken play receiver in the NFL. Yeah. So guys that he has around him are perfect, specific situation-wise.
That's such a great point about Tyler Lockett, who's so underrated. But to Laura's question about whether the Seahawks offense can overcome the Seahawks defense, not at the rate that the Seahawks defense has been playing, which has been historically bad, by the way. Okay, allowing 1,200 plus yards through three games, NFL records. But it's a long season, and I'll say this. The NFC is full of unbalanced teams. I love what the Packers are doing. Their defense has been terrible, too. Aside from the Bucs, whose defense we talked about earlier, no one is balanced. The Saints have let me down. I don't think their offense rises to the level of these other offenses. So I believe this conference is wide open. It is going to require some improvement. They're going to have to get some sort of pass rush going. Y'all have heard me criticize that. But I'm not writing them off yet because of the level of competition, Marcus.
The part that I struggle with is three turnovers that the Cowboys had, and the Seahawks only won by 7 against a bad defense on the other side. So I feel you, Mina. They can get better, but right now I'm nervous about them.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Mina, to use Lamar's own words, why are the Chiefs his kryptonite?
Because they're the best team in the NFL. It's as simple as that. I mean, so much has been made of the fact that Lamar Jackson is 0-6, all right, when he's losing at halftime. But half of those games were against Kansas City. They're just a better football team, and you saw that last night. Look, Lamar didn't play well, but neither did his receivers. They were out-coached. They were outclassed on defense. They only won in special teams. Shout out to Justin Tucker, the God. But otherwise, they were just the inferior football team. It really isn't a referendum on who Lamar Jackson is as a player. It's more a referendum on the fact that Patrick Mahomes has the potential to be the greatest to ever do it. I didn't love the game plan, same as Marcus, but I am not putting all of this at Lamar's feet.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, when it comes to the Chiefs, the Ravens have a keeping up with the Joneses problem. I mean, if you look at their first drive, they go all the way down the field. And, Mina, you touched on this yesterday. That should have been their philosophy. They go all the way down the field. They get to second and three. It becomes a throw. They go third and three, throw. You just went down the field running the football. Their very next possession, when they go down 6-3, it is 6-3. They come out of the huddle and they go throw, throw, throw. Three straight throws. Like, all of a sudden you go, why are you trying to, like, keep up with the Chiefs? Why are you trying to become somebody you're not? And Spags, the defensive coordinator for the Chiefs, he really just said, I don't care what you're going to do. I'm going to put 11 people up near the football, and we're going to dare you to throw because we don't think you will. And they and Spags was right. I counted. They ran 53 snaps, Baltimore. 14 snaps. 14 snaps. The Chiefs defense had all 11 of their guys within 8 yards of the snap. That's more than a quarter of the snaps yesterday. So this loss is not on Lamar. It's more on his coaches. It's more on his defense. It's more on his receivers and tight ends. They all have to be better.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little more about Spags, Marcus, because here's the thing. When you think about the Chiefs' defense, I don't even know if we're giving them enough love here. No. They just went ahead and stymied a Ravens offense that has been dynamic not only last season but this season.
Yeah, I think we got caught up in the Chargers game when, obviously, Justin Herbert came in and had success against them. And I told you guys, it's hard to, when you have a quarterback that's announced right before the game, it's hard to defend against that, especially when he's athletic. We look now to what they did last night. The Chiefs defense gave up 13 points to the Ravens. It was a kickoff return that made up for another touchdown. But their stars showed up, right? And this goes back to Veach. Yeah. This goes back to the decision making. We had, will Chris Jones get a deal? Well, now you see why you give guys deals like that. And then to the plan. Right. There was no fear of Lamar Jackson.
Right.
Spags did not go in that game saying, I'm going to wait and see what Lamar Jackson is going to do before I decide.
Yeah.
The best defenses in the NFL dictate action. I've always been taught that from the beginning of time when I started playing in college for Nick Saban at LSU. We are going to dictate tempo. Mm-hmm. We want to force them to do the things we want them to do. And that's what Spags did.
Well, and before we make it sound like we're poo-pooing on Lamar Jackson here, he's 0-3 versus the Chiefs, 21-1 against all other teams.
Still a good football team.
All right, new on NFL Live right now. We've got some news in. Adam Schefter, what can you tell us?
Allura, we have the three names of the three Titans players that tested positive and have been placed on the COVID-19 reserve list officially. Dayton Jones, the defensive lineman, is one. The long snapper, Bo Brinkley, is the other. And a practice squad tight end by the name of Tommy Hudson, all tested positive and have been placed on the reserve COVID list. Dayton Jones, Bo Brinkley, Tommy Hudson, all go on that list right now. And what's interesting here, I think, is that we've got one defensive lineman, one tight end, and one long snapper. So there's no correlation. It's not like we've got three from one position. So now we wait to see whether any of the other tests with the Titans players come back positive tomorrow, and that will have a huge influence on whether that game is played Sunday, moved to Monday, or postponed to another week.
Yeah, good stuff there, Shefty. Good information. Three players and, again, five staff members for the Titans and tested positive. One more thing before we go. Dan, you start.
And one of the reasons I was excited that last night's game was on national television because America and hopefully the whole NFL got to see that Eric Bieniemy is ready to be a head coach in the NFL since he took over as offensive coordinator. They're number one in yards per game. They're number one in points scored. And they're number one in third down conversions. Eric Bieniemy, someone hire him as your head coach.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be able to do it. Listen, the Chicago Bears are 3-0, and they made a quarterback switch. Let that sink in for a second. Listen, Nick Foles gives this team the best opportunity to win. We see it. Mitchell Trubisky obviously played his way out of that. They had this decision made when they brought Nick Foles over. 3-0, and they switched their quarterback.
So how about Kyle Shanahan going into MetLife with more injured than healthy players and smushing the Giants breakout game for the rook? Brandon Ayuk, Javon Kinlaw, the other rookie, had a nice game too. Credit to this team, their culture, their coaching staff, that they're able to overcome that level of injury.
Guys, after 8 seasons in the NFL, former Seahawks wide receiver Jermaine Kearse is retiring. He announced it earlier today. Of course, he helped bring Seattle their first Super Bowl. And you know what? He had an unreal catch in Super Bowl 49 with about a minute to go in the fourth quarter. Would have been legendary had it not been for what happened after that. And I really hate to bring this up with Mina Kimes on the show, but
wow.
You know, there was little Malcolm Butler.
Wow.
And two, Laura. I get it on highly questionable. Now NFL Live, really?
Major shade.
I'm so sorry, Mina. I love you, Mina.
The betrayal.
We just had to do it. We couldn't
even
help it.
It was,
what are you guys doing?
Marshawn, here.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow.
Here, Marshawn, take it.